Pastor Monica, did I ever tell you what my favorite scripture in the Bible is?
Did I find it?
Well, did I ever tell you what it was?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. And to the rest of you, do you think God is in this place?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure of it now. Because Pastor Monica sent me this scripture, and it happens to be my favorite scripture in the entire Bible. Now, if that's not serendipity, I don't know what is. There's truth in parables. There's wisdom in Isaiah. I love so much of the Bible. But this is where I find the authentic Jesus performing a real miracle. And so I'm just going to read the Gospel of John, chapter 9, 1 through 41. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned that he was born blind. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. He then went and washed, and he came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some were saying, "He is." And others were saying, "No, it's someone like him." And he kept saying, "Yes, I'm the man." But they kept asking him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' When I washed my eyes, I received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the Pharisees to the man who'd formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees began to ask him how he received his sight, and he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, now I see." Getting repetitive. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes that he opened." And then he said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and that he'd received sight until they called the parents of the man who'd received his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? And then does he now see?" And his parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that we know he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age and he can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" Then he answered them, "I've told you already. You still don't get it. And you will not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God does listen to those who worship him and obey the will of God. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sin, and you're trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe I am the Son of Man or humankind? And he answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And he said, Lord, I believe, and worshiped him. And Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? And Jesus said to them, if you are blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. Amen.
There's a lot in there, and we're going to get to it all. But first, let me talk to you about my favorite sport that the rest of the world knows about, but Americans are a little slow on. It's called football in the rest of the world. Here we call it soccer. Oh, yeah. Now let me get my thought back. Yes. And the VAR is a new invention that has been created in the soccer world, and we, as Liverpool fans, do not like it. Because why? What is it? Well, let me tell you. I know you're on the edge of your seat wondering, aren't you? Yeah. What's a right there? I know. What's a VAR, Pastor Monica? Well, it says that the referees, who really do have all the power in soccer, do no longer have all the power in soccer. It is now going to be a machine. So in other words, the eyes do not have it. It's the machine. And every time, it seems the machine is wired against Liverpool. But anyway, and so we hate when we have to see the referee go, then they usually wear one of these, just like me. They gotta look at the screen. They gotta look at the screen to see if what they saw is what they saw or not. And then they give us back a ruling and it'll be like this. And then we all go, well, okay. So the goal didn't count. So here we are entering a world where we're not to rely on our own senses, but on a machine. Anyone see Sully, right? I used to live in Boeing world, and so I had a lot of Boeing engineer friends, and Sully totally made my point that there is nothing like human intuition and sight, right? And does everyone remember what that movie was about? It was about the airplane that went in, and gosh, and I was in D.C. when that happened, that landed in the water because a bird had gotten in the bunches of birds got in the propellers, right? Again, nature, machine, and he had to do quick thinking, and it evidently was like a 12-second moment that he had. The machine only made it for 17 seconds. So they had to go through a trial and all this, and it turns out humans can be quicker when they need to. So this is kind of a story about humans. It's also a story about healing and curing, about powers that be that want to keep abusing their power, and about God, Jesus saying, not really here for you. You're going to have to deal with it. So, as we do, let's travel back in time. Let's enter the scriptures. So we've got the blind man. And he already, well, he's the third, he's our trinity of these three folks that kind of represent all of us who are ready for transition and transformation. 2 weeks ago, Nicodemus, the man in power, the teacher, the Pharisee, meets with Jesus in the dark. And remember, biblical literature, everything means something. The power guy meets in the dark of night. No one will see me. I meet with Jesus one-on-one. I get everybody out of the way. And then he believes. He believes he is the Son of God, and then actually defends him later. So that's Nicodemus. That's one of our Trinity. Then two, last week, the woman at the well. Remember? Now we have the woman with the least power, or someone who represents the least power, mixed race woman, not of the kind, but Jesus did not come just for some, but for many and for the world, right? And so then Jesus and this woman have an understanding, and she not only believes because she's a woman, she takes action, amen? And she tells everybody else. She said, I met the Savior. And now we come upon a blind person, a person with blindness, who says, you know what? I've been healed. And not only has he been healed, but he's been healed because first he's been open to the healing. There's a whole bunch of commentary about, you know, we're usually not ready to welcome God into our heart, into our minds, because we're not ready. But sometimes we're ready for the healing. So this person who's been blind, as we've been told his whole life, is ready to be healed. So let's just say there's an openness. Again, we always have responsibility in God interacting in our lives. It should never be forced upon us and never be put into a very defining, refining, confining, like VAR box. Amen? Let's be clear about that. We always have the opportunity to be co-creators with God. So here's the blind man. Now, it's so great. It doesn't just happen like someone put a hand on his forehead and he went like this and he saw, right? My English is not going to work today with this. So, no, there's mud, there's water. What? Biblical literature, again, symbolism. What does water mean? Life, life, to life. Oh, another musical. Mix. Now he's healed. So now here's Jesus doing another go get him. Using life, using water. Remember, we splash our faces every morning to remind ourselves we are yet alive. Jesus is taking that same water. He puts it in. Now he can see. Boom. Not only has a miracle happened, but what the Pharisees are caught up in, because, you know, it's all about rules and following the law, they're caught up. Wait, whoa, you healed on the Sabbath. Huh? What? So totally missing that one of their own has now gone through this life-changing thing. Can see, you know, they don't ask, hey, what's the view? What do you see? What are you taking in? Oh my gosh, isn't this Jesus amazing? Oh, nope. Here's number 12, paragraph B, after, you know, comma 5. No. So the Pharisees are kind of, well, they're not missing the boat, but they're kind of missing the boat, aren't they? The whole thing. And then there's all this, which happens so much. And I love these scriptures because the humans are so fallible. Anyone relate? We all know somebody like that, right? The humans are fallible. So here we go again. And oh, I feel like I'm in these circles all the time. So he's been healed. No one's asking him, how are you doing? Like, what's this like? Whoa, what do you see? Oh my gosh, did you know that I had pimples, right? They're not asking those kind of questions. They're asking, well, wait, well, what about your parents? Well, no. And what about, well, and wait, the Pharisees are going to come. Are we going to say that we know you? Wait. All this denial, all this, we can't let them know. That's abuse of power, isn't it? People hiding. Remember, the parents deny that he was healed because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. Even though last week Jesus said, well, 2 weeks ago Jesus said, for God so loved the world, I came, but I came because you are not at fault for what your parents did. That's old teaching. But again, we don't like to unlearn things, do we? No, your parents had nothing to do with the blindness. He just was born blind. And Jesus is even saying, I don't even see that as a problem. It's the rest of you that are a problem. But because this man was willing to be open to me and willing to be cured, I'm going to cure him. Ah, healing, curing. We in this world are really caught up in that. So many of you are sharing me stories of people that need cures. They need medical science. That's why we have medical science, right? We have doctors who've been trained to do brain surgery. We have doctors who've been trained who can rebuild a leg. We have doctors who are trained to ponder with us and listen to us and listen to what's going on with our whole body. But then we need the healing of Jesus Christ to take us through that journey. So in this story, we get curing, a blindness, glaucoma has been cleared, right? Whatever. But we have this openness to be healed, this openness to see Jesus, to experience Jesus. Does everyone hear that difference? Some churches like to mix it up, right? Have the person come forward, put their hand on their forehead and say, you've been healed. Well, no, we call that shenanigism, don't we? Sorry if anyone, You know, it's not real. It only happens with the work. Jesus has to work it, doesn't he, for the cure. He has to mix it up. He has to work on Sabbath. Could you imagine if someone said, in fact, my accident, which I'm not going to talk, happened on a Sunday. Well, thank God the hospitals were open, right? What if they said, oh, never mind, we're going to let your leg, So they cured and healed me. Well, then I needed the weeks to heal, right? People get caught up in the wrong questions. But why do they get caught up in the wrong questions? Maybe they feel a little threatened, right? The Pharisees in this moment of time are realizing they're losing power. As the Pharisees say in Jesus Christ Superstar, one thing you can say for him, Jesus is cool. His message is relatable. Their message isn't relatable anymore because it's all about rules and confinement and refinement. And Jesus is like, wait a minute, I do know the scriptures, and the scriptures say, and I do know my Jewish law. Yes, we have Jewish law. It gives us identity. It says that we aren't the Romans, but at all times, love comes first. Love comes first. I learned that from a rabbi, that you could always, there's always workarounds in the law if you're doing what comes first, and that God is love. So it's like, oh, wow. We could use that too, couldn't we? So let's remember, we aren't open to God's transformation unless we're open to God's transformation. And that we have these texts using metaphor. And right? You could think, if you think about, as we're going to get to when we have our special guest in just one moment, the obstacles that people who happen to be blind now face, just think how they must have been treated 2,000 years ago. So we've already gotten the most privileged needs to hide to ask questions because he's afraid of the power structure. We have a woman who has nothing, so she can't hide. But she's at the well, and so Jesus goes to her at her one place. And now we have probably somebody who represents a lot of the population that is just plain ignored. So, Jesus came to give sight to the blind. And maybe let those that see be blind until they're ready to see. Amen? At this time, I'd like to invite our special guests to come up front as we are going to have now chat show at Fairview Community Church. Let's give them a hand. Coming to you all the way from the back of the house, Chuck Dill. Woo! And from the front of the house, Britt Richardson. Woo! Okay, right here. I'm like, no. There we go. There you go. Okay, good. And Britt has the microphone for you. We need to pass it. Yeah. So take it out of the. Well, welcome you two for coming and being on a Fairview Chat Show today. We're going to ask questions. So these are questions that I and my guests came up with together. And I just thought, what an opportunity we have, amen? This isn't an esoteric thing for us at Fairview. We know some people that happen to have some blindness, amen? Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna ask my first question, Chuck and Britt. Britt, you were born blind, and can you tell us a little bit about, because you've had kind of a journey with that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, I was born completely blind with glaucoma and aniridia, and glaucoma is a disease of the cornea, and it causes high eye pressure, and then aniridia, I have no iris. So when I first came out of my mother, my eyes were completely blue. I had no whites, and so they immediately knew I was blind. I went through several surgeries, 13 in the first year of my life, and then I lost my vision in my left eye completely, and then I had a little bit of vision until I was about 8, and then I was able to see more at a cornea transplant. Then about 4 years later, I lost my sight again. So ever since then, I've had mostly just a light perception in my right eye. So that's kind of my little story from my blindness.
Do you feel like sometimes you go by memory and imagination of, do you have memories of when you could see a few more things than you see now? Or?
I do. I have very vivid dreams. I mean, I've never been able to see, well. I've always been legally blind, but there was actually 1 week of my life for 7 days. I was able to see really well, still legally blind, but I was able to look at people's faces, and I spent a lot of time outside taking pictures of flowers. It was just this one surgery that they did that they weren't expecting to help, but it actually did for a very short period of time. And I remember that very, very vividly and fondly, of being able to see colors like reds and oranges and pinks and the grass and the sky and beautiful people's faces, just my family, all that stuff. So
yeah. So that memory stays with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and imagination. Okay. And then let's pass it to Chuck. Chuck, you were not born blind.
Correct.
Tell us, what is your situation?
Well, I have two other brothers. We all have the same eye disease. And our mother was the carrier. She didn't know that she was a carrier of this eye disease, but the three of us are pretty much had normal eyesight when we were kids. Mm. They found, I don't remember so much, but when we were maybe 8, 9 years old, that we'd start running into things at night, and they just thought, oh, they're clumsy. But then it actually starts, this eye disease starts with night blindness. So that's where those things started happening, where it was just harder to see things at night. And then as you become a teenager, that's a mom took the three brothers to a place up in LA, got tested, found it was a disease called choroideremia. And it's just a slow progression. It starts with night blindness, but a slow progression then where you lose your eyesight. So again, starts with night blindness. And then as you get older, your peripheral vision, both vertically and horizontally starts going away. And I can still, I mean, I can see the lights up in the ceiling of the sanctuary. So I'm lucky that I still have that. That kind of helps me get around. And I was going to say something else, but...
Did the brothers, there's two others of you, right?
Right.
In your family. Did it all happen around the same age for each of you?
Yes, for the most part. Mark, my older brother, he's 8 years older. He probably wouldn't be able to see the lights up around here. And eventually I may be there. I think, because then there's Tim, who's a year and a half younger than me. We've kind of figured that between the three of us, that I probably still have a little bit better than the two of them, but it pretty much progresses the same with each of us. And this is a disease that only males can have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you two think is the most misunderstood thing about that sighted folks project onto you?
Should I answer?
Yeah.
Okay. That they feel bad.
They feel bad for you, right?
Right.
Like they feel sorry for you.
Right.
Okay.
And that would be a natural thing. And trust me, when I see other people with disabilities, I feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I don't want to speak for all of the blind community, but for myself, you know, don't feel bad for me. I really, in some ways, and this may kind of cover one of the questions you're going to have down mm-hmm, the road, mm-hmm. But in some ways, believe it or not, I feel kind of blessed
mm-hmm.
by having this.
Right, Jay? Are you amening? Yeah.
Oh, there. Hi, Jay.
Yeah.
I'm just in tune to different things
yes.
than I think sighted people, they may not be.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, we'll keep going, yeah.
Okay.
Can we pass that
yep.
to Britt? Britt, what are some, you know, things that have been projected onto, that sighted people like to project onto you?
I'm not broken. I'm whole the way I am.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
there's nothing
yeah.
wrong with me.
Yeah.
Love you too. that's not much more to say than that.
Well, I wonder, do people sort of talk down to you intellectually? Do you ever get that? Of like,
yeah, it's really strange, honestly. I wonder, or like they scream at me, like,
right,
like I
if I talk louder, you're gonna see me, right?
Yeah, it's very like interesting. It's like I understand what you're saying perfectly fine.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, Chuck. Any thoughts on that? Have you ever felt like people talk down to you intellectually?
There we go. Thank you. I've never felt like that.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe it's just the way I present myself. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I've never felt that way. I feel good about myself. Yeah.
Well, amen. Hello. Okay. On that note, my friends, what do you think your superpower is? Because.
Well, if there's a phone booth around, of course I get into a costume and then I'm able to fly. But I try not to keep. Please keep that all to yourselves. Excuse me. Wow. Superpower. I do think now I live with my brother and sister-in-law. My brother's, you know, got the same eye disease as I do. My sister-in-law is sighted. So she will say, because I think my hearing's better. She doesn't think so. And she doesn't think her husband's, you know, hearing is any better. I do think, you know, as they say, your other senses increase, and I do think that's true. I want to say you can kind of hear, but it's more of a feeling when I get by a wall or something, you can actually feel it.
Yeah.
And so that's a neat sensation. So I guess it would be primarily those things and just actually and understanding people with disabilities,
yeah.
I think, would yeah. be part of that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we pass it to Britt?
Okay.
Yeah. Britt, what's your superpower?
Well, I can't hear very well. I can't feel very well, can't smell very well. You know, none of my senses, I think, enhance. I think for me, it's more like I can't see, so my brain has more space to focus on those things. I think the same thing could happen if a sighted person closed their eyes. Uh-huh. It's just the brain's plasticity. It allows you to focus on that. And also the wall thing, Chuck, that's our ears, so we can feel the pressure of the wall. Oh. So it is kind of a hearing thing, even though the wall's not talking or anything. So. Yeah. Superpower. I think that one is empathy. I think I have a lot more empathy. Some people, it's hard. It's hard to, I think empathy is a muscle, needs to be flexed, exercised. And when you're have a, like a constant struggle every day with, you know, multiple things, I think you feel more for others, at least you can. Mm. But my biggest superpower, I think, is the ability to feel presence. I think it goes back to the thing where my eyes don't need to be focusing on how people look, how people are doing certain things. And I'm just there, and I just feel the energy and the presence of others and the mood of the room. I think that would probably be my superpower.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Keep the microphone. We'll have you do the next. Okay. Start with the next one. If you could be sighted for a day, what would you like to see?
I think probably the two things that come to my mind is like the people I care about, I want to see them. I want to be able to look into their eyes and connect with them in that way. And then the other thing, I just want to sit under a tree and read a book all day. That's about it.
Yeah, nice. But we'll let Chuck answer that. We'll go back. Yeah.
There we go. For me, it would. I have still a bunch of photo albums that my husband had put together, and I would just like to sit in front of all those photo albums and look at from family, past family, and then the trips that he and I took, but just all the memories in those photos. I would just want to sit all day long and look at photos just to rekindle. I can still remember what he looks like and most of my family, but just to kind of spark my memory again of those times.
And then we'll
I'd love to be able to see the mountains and all the snow on them again.
And if you had the opportunity to be sighted again permanently, would you want to be? Why or why not?
That's a very good question.
Because they came up with it.
I would like to say no, but I would say yes.
Yeah.
And not to have people feel sorry for me at all. I would like to have my eyesight back. There's at times I miss it. Yeah, when I went into a wall, especially corners of walls. They feel really good on your forehead. You should do it sometime. But so it gets frustrating, but for the most part, yeah, I'd like to have my eyesight back. But I know down the road I will have my eyesight back, and I can't wait to see what I'm going to see.
Amen. Let's pass it back to
you. Okay.
That was all Chuck, too. I didn't even give him that yet.
I think I have the same answer as Chuck. Like, if it was a retrospective question, would I have changed my, would I want to be born sighted? No. I am who I am because of everything that I am. But going forward, I'm not going to lie to you, this stuff is hard. Like, yeah, I want to be sighted. Give me some eyeballs. Let me drive a car so I don't have to use access anymore. But, I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Maybe that's not everyone's answer, but the truth is, yeah, life would be a lot easier if I could see.
Yeah. Well, that makes me think, what if things were different? What if society could change, adjust a little bit? My learning, my own experience is ADA doesn't necessarily mean it's accessible.
No.
Right? So I just think of maybe the world adjusted a little bit.
Right? Definitely. You know? I think, right? I mean, like I always say, it's the system, not the people. I mean, like I said, I'm not broken, but the society we live in needs some work.
Yeah.
And I think if people were more mindful with, they actually followed ADA. I mean,
right.
Most people don't even listen. They're like, oh, well, ADA.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think this definitely more, if I was able to navigate with more ease and people were more cognizant of what people with disabilities need, I think that would answer would definitely change.
Or to have systems in place.
Yeah.
I think, exactly. Here's one. Has anyone ever approached you and asked if they could pray to heal you from your blindness?
Yes, yeah. Too many times.
This helps us. We not all of us have grown up in the same kind of church expression. So yeah. Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
My grandfather is a pastor, and I can't even count how many times I've been up in an altar call to be healed, and I'm still blind, but that's besides the point. Even in public, like I remember one time I was in Huntington Beach, and what song were they singing? I think Reckless Love by Corey Asbury, and I passed by and I started singing it with them. So like, oh, someone, Jesus, they know Jesus? So they followed me, and they're like, can we pray for you? And I was like, sure, for what? And they're like, oh, your blindness. I'm like, I don't really want you to pray for my blindness, but you can pray for me to have more peace and more patience and things like that. So I allowed them to pray for me for that. But like, it's uncomfortable for me to have people come up, because then that makes me feel like they think I need fixing, and I don't need fixing. And I think that that's an interesting way to approach folks.
Well, that's an immaturity of spirituality too, but that's, we're covering that. Okay, go.
Okay.
Has anyone asked you?
Yeah, sure. No.
There we go. Yep. Yeah.
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 No. I never even thought about it.
Right.
And I don't feel bad about it. It's just, that's the way things are. It's just such a good question, and it's such a, but yeah, no.
What does healing mean to you on your faith journey?
You know, I saw that question yesterday, and I was like, yeah, stumbled me. I know. Thanks, Britt. I guess just, following God, following FCC, just being in tune with the church and the feelings that I have inside now, that don't be scared to let those feelings out. Monica, you've said love is love. And not to bring up Horatio again, but at his celebration that was here, I had started saying this many years before he passed away, but it was love is love is love is love is love, yeah. ..
Yeah.
And on the back of the program, it was there.
Yeah.
Those five words and those .. So it's just, my faith journey, I think, is just based on love.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Britt, same question. What does healing mean to you in your faith journey?
Healing means a lot of things, but I'll keep it short. So healing for me, in a nutshell, has been Fairview, honestly. Mm. I've come from interesting churches with interesting teachings, and a lot of that, speaking of brokenness, a lot of that did break me down spiritually. Coming to Fairview has been my healing, has been my restoration of being around love and being around community that is caring and affirming. And we don't just talk, we walk, we go out into the community, we love on people, we take care of each other. And that is what healing has been on my faith journey.
Amen. Thank you for willing to be open and be yourselves. I think we've learned a lot. Amen. That the Bible is. Thank you for reminding us you're not broken, or you're not broken any more than the rest of us are, right? That we are fallible humans, but we start with God is love, is love, is love. And we might run into a door, we might run into each other, but we're doing it with the best of intention. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So thank you. Let's do it again. Give him a hand. Give me. And yes. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Joe's coming. Okay. Joe's coming, but I'm hugging. I'm